Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, and it is Friday. Didn't we just say that like a day ago? It's time is going so fast, is it not? Welcome to this morning's live radio broadcast. It's an interesting Friday. There's a lot going on everywhere around the world, as you know, from oil tankers from Iran being confiscated and being sent to Houston, to movements in Portland again, and things that we are seeing in different places throughout the country. I mean, there's just a whole bunch going on in the world today. And so when you boil it all down and we reflect and we go into the Word of God, for those of us who are born again, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, this should be the most incredible journey of our lives. We are literally, as one of my dear friends said many times, having front row seats to end time prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. But I like a little bit better of the idea of not having just a front row seat observing, but knowing that we are in the midst of what is happening right now. If Bible prophecy is unfolding, then you and I are in it, and we need to make sure that we're on the right side of the day. It's either light or it's either dark. You and I have to make sure we're on the right side of the day, and if we are, then we could expect the glory of God to be manifesting in our lives. We've talked a lot about that in the last week or two, about being those candles of the Lord, being that outray, putting on display, transfiguration, the glory of Christ in us showing forth at the right time. So there's a lot to be said there. And yet today, when we're seeing all these different things, how about this? I'm at a position, and maybe you could straighten me out here. Maybe some of you can actually help me in my thinking, biblically, spiritually, and just in conversation. I'm at a point where in my thoughts, when I view the elections of November, and I don't want to get political on anybody right now, but I do want to say this. In the elections of November, we have a president who's wanting to protect Christians in the Middle East. He talked about the horrifying persecution going on against Christians yesterday in his briefing. And he's talking about, this great big Middle East plan. By the way, yesterday we're on here talking about the temple of God out of Zechariah, not knowing that at that very time there was a deal being signed, a peace treaty in the Middle East. Absolutely amazing. We talked about the building of the temple and all that was going on in Jerusalem. So, again, I believe that we're on track. But the thing I can't get out of my mind is coming in November, with the election ballots, whether they're going to be mailed in, whether it's going to be fair. There's no win. Nobody really wins. I cannot see one side winning without the other side exploding. I can't see a quiet, calm election in the United States of America. In fact, we were told, and again, this was very interesting. I think it was Daniel told us on Wednesday, there is going to be a 50-day siege that begins September 16th against the White House. And there seems to be a lot of talk about what's going on in September. And I want to share a few bits of information with you from some dear friends of ours that have been writing into the broadcast. And let me share this I thought was very, very interesting. A friend of ours, Donna, has a son who is in the Texas area, or in actually Arizona. We'll leave all, you know, that type of stuff alone. And she said, I'm back in Texas and listened to the broadcast with you and Daniel this morning. This was going back to Wednesday. It was deeply meaningful to me. Thank you both very much for your insight and all that you shared. I wholeheartedly agree with everything said. I plan on sharing a lot of it with friends here. I just shared the dream and message to prepare with a church in Phoenix and some of my family there. I just saw Pastor Dana on a TV or radio interview about his dream. So we're going to talk a little bit about Pastor Dana today. I am writing to mention something I found interesting. My son is incredible with watching the stars and the signs in the sky that lead to world events. So Donna's son has an affinity for looking into the heavens. Praise God. That's where we should all be looking, right? She said, I cannot describe how he explained it to me, but there are a few major planets that are traveling in a pattern in September that he said indicates that some very instrumental things were going to occur in September. He mentioned September 16th as one specific date. He did say something about a date at the beginning of September and then another one at the end of the month. But he remembered September 16th was a particularly big day to be aware of. It had something to do with two major planets passing one another and the impact they will have on us or something like that. When I heard Daniel mention the White House siege and that the left was planning a White House siege on September 17th, the day before the Feast of Trumpets, I thought of the September 16th prediction made by my son from the stars in the sky. Looks like God is warning us on several levels that we are about to be impacted. All right, so that comes from Donna, and I'm so thankful that Donna shared that. And Donna has been sharing a number of other thoughts with us that are very critical to our understanding. And just yesterday, I put up on our OmegaRadio.org. We broadcast, as you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I came across Pastor Dana's recent dream that he had for October. And, you know, October is a very amazing month, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but he saw some very critical things happening in the month of October. So this idea of September, October, November, and this critical moment in time, signs in the heavens, we're witnessing signs on the earth, and the purpose of being on our broadcast is to communicate to one another what we need to be doing at this time. It is fascinating. The most important thing is to know that you and I are saved by grace through faith, which will have an impact in our lives. True grace and true faith will bring an inward transformation of our lives. You cannot say I'm saved by grace through faith and have no fruit. That's impossible. Okay, that's a bad deal. True salvation has very little to do with going to heaven, as you know. When we talk about being saved by grace, that word, sidzo, whatever that Greek word is, actually refers to being rescued, delivered, literally meaning to be made whole. Nowhere in the definition does it ever refer to going to heaven. Salvation is an inward transformation. It is a healing. It is a restoration. It is deliverance from the world, the flesh, and devils. It is a work of the Spirit in our lives and the Word of God. For the engrafted Word of God is able to save your soul, deliver your soul, make your soul whole. So it's not wisdom to be sitting down, you know, and going through all the information and having, you know, I hope I'm saved mentality. You have to know you're saved. You have to have a testimony. You need to know that you have been delivered and rescued and made whole, and you're going through that inward transformation in your life. That is super important, that you look at your life and see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And again, this is just a real critical thing to salvation. It's free. It's a gift. It's God's desire that we would all get in on it. And it, what is required of us is to believe and then to have faith in God's grace and to allow God's grace to work in our lives. We are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. That's beautiful, right? We're washed in the blood. We have renewed our minds with the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have put off the old man. We're putting on the new man. I mean, we're partakers now of the divine nature. If any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is intrinsic to our salvation. So while we're here and we're looking at the information and we're sifting through and we're looking through the biblical lens at the signs of the times, and we're getting awed by the reality that we are that deep into this moment, let us be assured that Jesus Christ has the preeminent place in our heart, that he is primary beyond our doctrine. And I know doctrine is critical, don't get me wrong, but all true doctrine leads to holiness. And holiness simply means a deeper, greater separation unto God. It is a call out of the world into the kingdom, out of the phobias of the past into the glory and the love of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So if you're struggling right now in your life, you need to concentrate on that struggle more than you do the end times that are happening all around us. You and I, whatever we're dealing with, we have to deal with it. Whatever issues are there, we have to deal with them. This is critical. To know everything in the world is like the man that says, what is it profit to gain the whole world but lose your soul? What is it profit to know everything going on but to lose your soul? It is critical for you and I to make sure that Jesus Christ is in his rightful place in our hearts, that we have no idols, that we are not looking and being distracted by the things of the world. The cares of the world will choke the word of God, that we have no stones in our heart of offense or unforgiveness or resentment or bitterness, because that would prevent the fruit tree from producing fruit. And we have to make sure that we're not one foot in and one foot out on the wayside, because the birds of the air will come in every time and snatch the word out of our hearts, and it will not be fruitful. We have to make sure that the good soil of our heart is receiving the good word of God, and that there is proof in the pudding, that the good soil is producing a new nature. We are getting set free from the power of sin. We are walking on this earth in the glory of God, covered by the blood of the Lamb. The angels of God have been commissioned to our lives to help us fight battles we don't even see. But we have to learn how to fight the battles in deliverance. We need to be able to make sure mentally, emotionally, physically, in our memory bank, every aspect, that we are being inglorified, if you will. That in Christedness is touching every cell of our body, that our bloodline is being affected, that our health is being affected by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. I'm not making this up. It's all in the Scriptures. In other words, our experience with God has to be real. There has to be a reality. And if it's all faith, that's cool. Maybe you've never had a sign or a wonder. But if it's all faith, that faith will propel you into a walk with God that is extraordinary. You don't need to have, you know, the testimony of, oh, God spoke to me, or, you know, God did this miracle. I mean, those are awesome for people that, you know, just kind of God gives that added touch to, because maybe they need it. I don't know. But pure faith, he says, those who have believed and have not seen are going to be amazingly blessed. And so maybe your journey is that you just believe the gospel. And so you study the new covenant contract, you obey it, and you may not see, feel anything, but you obey it, and it's changing your life because the gospel changes lives. And so it creates conviction, it creates confession, it creates repentance, transformation, and then we move on with the Lord and we just obey him. And that's pure faith, man. That's awesome because nobody's ever seen God. I mean, this is pure faith. But then there are multitudes of individuals who in genuineness have had faith and have had an experience with God. They've experienced the presence of God. And it's hard for me to imagine that somebody's that operating in pure faith hasn't experienced the glory of God in their lives in some manner. I believe there's usually a beautiful testimony. It's just people that are walking in pure faith don't need a sign and a wonder. Their faith propels them, and then things happen all around them and within them. And in their prayer time with God, I am assured that they are communicating with the Father. So having said that, good morning. I want to get into something. And it's a serious issue in my heart. And I sense in the scriptures, let me just read it to you, Matthew chapter 3. I want to start in Matthew chapter 3. And now also, this is Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. This is John the Baptist. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This is John. This is the message of John. And here's what he said. And here's what I'm going to tell you. I believe that John's message, if he were walking through the nations of the earth today, particularly the United States of America, the Judeo-Christian nation, this was John speaking to his own nation as a prophet. The greatest prophet to ever walk the face of the earth was John the Baptist. That's what the Bible says. So his message came with authority. And again, I believe with all of my heart that if he were here today, this would be his word to us at this time, at this moment. And here's what he would say. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, you have to understand this by going back a little bit and look at these words, axe and hewn, or you know it means to cut down, right? So any tree, and trees oftentimes in Bible prophecy are likened unto nations, Israel being the fig tree and then the cedar trees of Lebanon and, you know, all of that. Trees have an important role to play in Bible prophecy referring to nations. So what John was saying 2,000 years ago is that the axe is laid at the root of the trees. And I believe today that John the Baptist's words are very clear that once again the axe is laid at the root of the nations. And he was absolutely focusing on Israel at that time because of the condition of the nation and calling them to repentance. You remember that. So the story I want to read out is in Jeremiah chapter 46 to get an understanding of what John is saying, okay? There's an axe, it's laid to the root, and there is it's going to be hewn down, okay? Now remember this, that in Ezekiel chapter 21, God has a sword, and God has a sword that is sharp, it is polished, it is furbished for the slaughter. And he takes his sword, this is God's sword, and he takes his sword and he puts it into the hand of a slayer. That's in Ezekiel 21, one who is bent on destruction. So God has a sword. He puts it in the hand of a slayer. The slayer in Ezekiel 21 was the king of Babylon, that was going to come against Israel. So know that God has weapons of war. He called one his battle axe. You are my weapons of war, my battle axe. Now, the axe is being laid to the root of the trees. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 46, and let me just read this little story to you, okay? It will start in verse 1. We'll get to about 25 verses or so, but let's look at it. It's a prophecy dealing with Egypt. Egypt was about to meet its fate. Egypt was a world power. Egypt was a daughter of Babylon. All the ancient empires of the world and some today were known as the ancient empires, the daughters of Babylon, daughters plural. We know that mystery, Babylon, the mother of the abominations and harlots of the earth, the mother is going to show up in the last days, but she's had many daughters since Genesis chapter 11. Now, Jeremiah 46:1. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles, against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Boy, we've been praying for Josiah ministry, haven't we? Here's the message. Now, it's to Egypt way back when. But again, what do the words of the prophets have to do with nations today? Everything. This is a pronouncement upon the Gentile nations of the earth, the world systems. God doesn't need to raise up another guy named, you know, Bo in the mountains of Idaho to come out and be a prophet with a new message. That's not necessary. The words of the prophets are already written, and even though the prophets come and go, we read this yesterday, their words remain forever because it wasn't their words, it's God's words, and the way that God spoke then is the way that God speaks today over nations. Okay, this is all very clear, and I think we got that. So what is the message? And this is what I'm hearing for our country as we move into September, October, November, okay? Verse 3, order ye the buckler and shield and draw near to battle. That's the third wave. The sword of war, the sword of war, the weapons of war are coming. Verse 4, harness the horses, get up, ye horsemen, stand forth with your helmets, furbish the spears, put on the brigandines. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away back? And their mighty ones are beaten down and are fled apace and look not back. For fear was round about, saith the Lord. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this that comes up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt rises up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he says, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Well, come up, ye horses, and rage, you chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. Come on, this is a message of war that is coming. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour. And it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for you shall not be cured. The nations have heard of your shame, my God. And thy cry has filled the land, for the mighty man has stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together. Verse 13, the word that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. Declare ye in Egypt, publish in Migdol, publish in Noph and in Tahpanhes, say ye, stand fast and prepare thee, for the sword shall devour round about thee. Why are thy valiant men swept away? They stood not because the Lord did drive them. He made many to fall. Yea, one fell upon another, and they said, Arise and let us go again to our own people and to the land of our nativity from the oppressing sword. They did cry there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He has passed the time appointed. As I live, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains and as Carmel by the sea, so shall he come. O thou daughter dwelling in Egypt, furnish thyself to go into captivity, for Noph shall be waste and desolate without an inhabitant. Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction comes. It comes out of the north. Also, her hired men are in the midst of her like fatted bullocks, for they also are turned back and are fled away together. They did not stand because the day of their calamity was come upon them and the time of their visitation. Listen to verse 22. The voice thereof shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with axes as hewers of wood. They shall cut down her forest, saith the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are more than the grasshoppers and are innumerable. Who is? Those having the axes, the hewers, that are coming upon the land to axe it, to hew it, to cut it down. And when it talks about cutting down her forest, it's talking about the cities of a nation, the multiple cities within a nation. And the hewers are coming. There are going to be many of them. And it says in 24, the daughter of Egypt shall be confounded. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. All right. So let's stop for just a moment. John the Baptist said that the axe was laid to the root of the trees, and that every tree that did not bear fruit would be hewn down. Now we see that hewers, and how was Israel hewn down? How was Jerusalem hewn down? How was the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD hewn down? By the Roman power, the world power of its day, right? So the hewers are obviously military forces. We're seeing in this prophecy the sword of war. And again, these are words from prophets, that they are God's words, and that's why they are eternal. A nation that slaughters innocent blood. You've heard it 1,000 times at least. I'm going to say it 1,001 times. A nation that slaughters innocent blood by the tune of 500 million, spreading that around the world through taxpayer dollars. Nation who is right now in the process of selecting a Kamala Harris to run with a Joe Biden, who are both for abortion, full-term abortion. There is something corrupt about a nation that promotes the marrying of men with men and women with women. There's something wrong with a nation's psychology that have men turning their bodies into women and women turning their bodies into men. There's something wrong with the psychology of a nation when thousands of high-powered politicians fly constantly over to an island owned by Jeffrey Epstein to have sexual intercourse with underage minors, little boys and little girls. There's something wrong with the psychology of a nation that allows Hollywood to push out into the public arena the filth and degradation and blasphemy and the utter corrupt and depravity that is constantly flowing out into a nation. There's something wrong when we see these things going on in a nation where every home has the potential for pornography to run rampant within that home, within the minds of little children, young boys, young girls. There's something wrong with a nation that promotes wickedness, that puts the colors of God's rainbow to cause people to feel that this is okay. There's something wrong with the utter corruption. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you view it however you will. The United States of America is corrupt, and only right now, for the first time that I've ever known in my 38 years of being a Christian, 28 years of being a pastor, have I ever heard pastors standing up saying, this is a time not to obey our government? What I have heard for years, and I'm talking about Pastor Jack Hibbs in Calvary Chapel from Chino, two of his people came to our congregation last weekend and told us what Pastor Jack was doing. John MacArthur, other pastors out there that are rising up in California, and they're now saying to their people, we cannot obey the government. Joe Biden wants everybody to wear a mask for the next 90 days in public every day, 90 days. So right now, the church, some are waking up, most are standing back and saying, well, yay, go get them, Jack Hibbs. Go get them, John MacArthur. We're with you. We're behind you. But they're not doing anything. Okay, but these people are very pleasant by telling those pastors, okay, you're just not built or hardwired for this. You should be. And then the call comes out to how many Christians are in America today? And if everybody disrobed themselves from their denominational influences and started getting together in the spirit, allowing our hearts to be knit together in love by the glory of Jesus Christ, and if everybody would rally around the cross of Jesus Christ and stand together at this time, they would not be able to touch or move. I'm telling you, you want a movement in America, then every Christian in America should rally together around the cross of Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, and be empowered by his spirit, and then stand in this country and say, no, it would work. I know some very powerful Christian men and women that if there was ever a gathering together, and saying, listen, this country was fought for. There was a revolutionary war fought here. We're watching these poor, deceived nitwits out there burning cars and their fascist ideologies and their Antifa ideologies and their BLM ideologies. These nitwits under the power and spell of Lucifer and Jezebel are running around with their hormones cracking everywhere, doing stupid, only satisfying the deep lust of the elite that want to bring this nation down. So the Christian church, and I've heard that there are some in Portland and Seattle that are going out and singing and praising God. I said that at the beginning of this, if we would just all get to the street and start worshiping God, portals would be open. But some are doing it, but the numbers are few. I met with a pastor yesterday from Missouri who is calling for the courthouses. He's having courthouse prayer every single week. He's gathering people together to pray at the courthouse, to proclaim and a shout out to God. So there's a movement, but how many people showed up? 35 people. 75 people the first night, then it dwindled to 35. You see, there's a movement. It's rumbling. We're in it. What part will you play? What part will I play? Well, I believe here's what's happening. I believe this is what God is saying. Because of the lethargy of the church, because of the compromise of the church, because of the lukewarmness of the church, because of all these things, for our utter failure to be the compass, to be light and to be salt. Now we're ready to be trodden underfoot. I believe that. There will be a remnant. There's always a remnant that goes through these things. But I believe that the axe is very sharp, just like that sharp sword in Ezekiel 21. And I believe that that axe is in the hand of the hewers, and I believe that they've pulled it back and they're ready to strike. And I believe that what we will see in September, October, November is that third wave will rise. Civil disobedience, anarchy, you know, it's going to pass. And then all that turmoil Brother Michael told us about that follows a big wave. The third wave is coming. It's the sword of war. It's the unsheathing of the sword of war. Have helicopters being shot out. You have Iran now having their ships confiscated, supposedly taken down to Houston because they were going to send oil to Venezuela, which was against the international rules. So much happening, provocation, and peace treaty being signed in the Middle East. Three people, the moment it was said, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. In this prophecy of Jeremiah 46, it talked about sudden destruction. Isaiah 47:11, an evil comes from where you do not know. A mischief rises. You will not be able to put it off. Sudden destruction. That's in Isaiah 47:11. The third part of that prophecy, sudden destruction. We've already seen the first. An evil came, coronavirus, whatever it is. A mischief rose. Nobody knew where it was coming from, and nobody was able to put it off. The prophecy is standing true. The next part, sudden destruction, that lines up with what we're talking about right now. So where's the good news in this? Well, there may not be any good news for the moment. It may be that this nation is going to go through what Jerusalem went through, what the Ukrainians went through, what the Bolsheviks went through, what the Dark Ages and the Inquisitions and World War I and World War II. What do you think was happening if you lived in the war zone? Think people were just being giddy, watching TV, Andy Griffith? Nope. Life changes. Life changes for everyone. But what you do within that moment, because you can imagine, if God is sending hewers to America and he's putting his sword and his axe and his spears in their hands, and he's sending multitudes, the tree is going to fall. The forest, the cities are going to fall. Where will you be? How loud will the sound be? How great will the earth shake at the sounding of the fall of the United States of America? When America falls, the shout of the enemies of America will be louder and will ring through the whole earth. Now, I want to show you another scripture in Isaiah chapter 10. In Isaiah chapter 10, I've read this many, many times in our journey on the air. It's a pretty powerful passage, and it helps us to understand what's going on. And I'm just going to pick it up in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees. And I ask you the question, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed. Well, have there been decrees, unrighteous decrees, or have written laws that are grievous to morality, to righteousness, been prescribed in our country? You know the answer to that. So there's a woe unto them, right? And then it says in verse 2, to turn aside the needy from judgment, to take away the right from the poor of my people, God's people, that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. These were crimes being committed in the land. And what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from far? What will you do in the day of visitation and the desolation that comes from far? To whom will you flee for help? America, who are you going to flee to? You're going to flee to China? You're going to flee to Russia? You're going to flee to the United Nations? You're going to flee to Israel? You're going to flee to South America? Where are you going to flee to for help? Who's going to help America when it falls? Most likely, those who created the fall, who brought the axes, who laid it to the root of the tree, who destroyed the forest of their cities, are probably going to start taking control, and people will come under their umbrella. Now, and where will you leave your glory? Verse 4. Without me, this is God speaking to his people, to America. Without me, they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still in judgment. Verse 5, here's the key. O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. So let's hear it clearly, okay? The Assyrian was the rod of God's anger. A rod is a weapon. It's a tool. Okay. The Assyrian was the rod of my anger, and the staff, which in Hebrew is a weapon, in their hand is my indignation. So is it a spear, an axe, a sword, a nuclear weapon? What is it? And then it says in verse 6, I will send him, the Assyrian, against a hypocritical nation. Are we a hypocritical nation as a Judeo-Christian nation? And against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. I want to ask you a question. I will give him a charge. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, against the people of my wrath. Who was the prophecy referring to? Israel. The Assyrian was going to be used by God to come against Israel, God's chosen and covenanted people. And he was going to send them to do all that, take the spoil, take the prey, tread them down like the mire of the streets. We see some treading beginning already. Howbeit, in verse 7, he meaneth not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off, cut off many nations, or nations, not a few. So, in other words, what's happening is God is allowing the Assyrian to go against Israel. The Assyrian doesn't get it, though. He thinks he's doing this by his own strength, by his own might. So he's going to boast himself. Watch this in verse 8. For he says, are not my princes altogether kings? So the Assyrians are boasting now because they're great success against the Israeli people. Is not Calno as Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arphad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? As my hand found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria. Shall I not, as I have done to Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? This is the boast of the king. But watch, verse 12. Wherefore, it shall come to pass that when the Lord has performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, so he's going to allow the Assyrian to come and do the work of judgment, I will punish afterwards, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand has found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathers eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or peeped. So this was the boast of the king of Assyria. Look at God's response in verse 15. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth with it? Shall the saw magnify itself against him that shakes it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood. In other words, it's very plain. America started a fight with God in the 1950s, particularly, maybe late 1940s, 1950, 1960, an outright work. The United States government said, we don't want God in our schools anymore. They started legalizing what was unclean, what was unhealthy for the nation's psychology. They began to promote sensuality. They began to promote no school, no prayer in school, no crosses. We don't want Bibles. They began to work against God. We know what followed. What followed was the 60s Woodstock Revolution, which followed Vietnam War, which what came after that was the abortion industry. And here we are down the road. We're far down the road where now we've legalized all this evil that's in our society. America fought with God. So God, who has been very patient, our God, our Father, not some distant God, our Father, the God of the Bible, has been very patient, very merciful, very kind, very loving. His hand has been stretched out in mercy. But the nation has not responded properly. So now God is forewarning whoever has an ear to hear of what he's about to allow to happen. He's going to allow the hewers to come with their swords, their axes, their spears, their rods, their staffs upon the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And it's going to be cut down because of our sin. It's a very simple message. It's a painful message. And when it falls, America falls, I believe that is the time we are going to see the rising out of the ashes of World War III, because it's not going to go down without a fight. You know that, and I know that. World War III is going to take place. And the mass casualties and the loss of life that will be incurred because of this World War III that is now in motion, it's coming, will bring a population reduction all over the world. And out of the ashes of World War III will rise, just like out of the ashes of World War II came a United Nations. Out of the ashes of World War III will come a one world government, according to scripture, that will be under the absolute power of Lucifer, totally, completely embodied in an individual, whoever that individual will be. That's what we're looking at. And the question, I wonder how the children of Israel felt when Isaiah prophesied, God was sending the Assyrian against you because you're a hypocritical nation. What did the people think? In the days of Jeremiah, when God was saying, I'm sending the king of Babylon against Israel, what were the people thinking? Well, I know by reading the prophecies of the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, many of the people were hating the prophet, number one, disagreeing, didn't like, put him in jail, throw him in the dung pile, get rid of this guy, opposition, we're going to be okay. The politicians, the patriots, the priests, the false prophets were all saying peace and safety, nothing bad will happen, we're going to make alliances with Egypt. But God was speaking to a nation. God was speaking to a nation that had offended him, rejected him, rebelled against him, insulted him. That's what God was dealing with. A nation that worshiped the Queen of Heaven. Come on. Filled with idols, filled with treasures, filled with everything you can imagine, and yet turned their back away from God. What's different about us? What's different about our country? Well, we have Christians here. We have Christians here. You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. There's more than 10 of us, right? I mean, Abraham interceding to God, if there be 50, will you spare it? Yes, if there's 50, I'll spare it. Okay, if there's 40, will you spare it? Yes, if there's 40, I'll spare it. If there's 30, will you spare it? Yes, if there's 30, I'll spare it. Don't forgive me. Don't get mad at me. If there's 20, will you spare it? Yes, if there's 20. Okay, one more time. If there's 10, will you spare it? Yes, if there's 10 righteous, I will spare Sodom and Gomorrah. So everybody says, God is going to spare America because there are more than 10 Christians. But the problem with that is that they've totally forgotten the rest of Scripture. Ezekiel 14 says, God is going to bring judgment, four sore judgments upon the land. He says if Job, Noah, and Daniel were in that land at the time of the judgment, they would only save themselves. They would not save their sons and their daughters and their aunts and their uncles and their cousins and their grandkids. Four or five times it says in Ezekiel 14 that this is such a solidified judgment. This is going to happen. And just because there's some righteous men in the city does not mean the judgment is going to be spared. It just means that the righteous, the rigidly righteous, the truly righteous will be spared. But the judgment will hit the nation. Jeremiah, after all those years of prophesying, walked through the rubble of his message in the book of Lamentations. But he was spared. Favor was granted to him by one of the captains of the Babylonian military power. Are you yet seeing, now that's biblical, are you able to look through the lens and view our country the battle that is raging. Yesterday, here's the insult, okay? Yesterday, in a briefing, as the president was speaking, all the news media was there raising their hands, asking questions. This one guy from the Middle East or India, wherever he was, Pakistan, who knows? He had dark face, white hair, kind of gray hair. And he took his mask off. President Trump cordially said, yes, what is your question? And he said, after 3.5 years, do you have any regrets for lying to the American people? And President Trump said, I'm sorry? And he said, do you have any regrets for lying to the American people? Who? The president said, who lied? Regrets for what? You, he said. And the president just went to the next and he left that whole issue alone. The insult, the war in our country, that divided house, which cannot stand. What are you seeing? What do you see holding it up? What's holding up? What would restrain the axe, the staff, the sword? What would restrain it right now? Years of warnings came and the pastors ignored them. They were under the prosperity prophecies. Now, the axe, the sword, the spear, the staff, and people are changing their tune a little bit. What will restrain the sword, the axe, the spear, the staff, the rod? What will restrain it? In your understanding, I want to take your calls this morning, and I want to get into this with you just a little bit, if you don't mind. The number to call is 818-369-0326. What would restrain right now the sword, the axe? 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you directly into the broadcast. I think it's critical questioning. What I'll do while I'm waiting for some calls to come in, let me get to some of the comments out there today. Sean Woodson says, good morning to everybody. Hello, Sean. God bless you, my friend. Kevin Hauger, good morning to you. Ian, good morning to you. Stephanie Piazzi, good morning to you, Stephanie. God bless you. Trust you're doing well in California. Anita Vogel, hi from Australia. Anita, God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. Sharon Evans, good morning. Cindy Masterson, good morning. Sharon, God bless you. And I'm not sure where you call in from, but I think you're kind of local. Praise the Lord. Maybe we'll see you during the Feast of Tabernacles. Cindy, good morning. Our friends across the street, our neighbors, God bless you. We love you guys so much. Sean said, did you see where Trump made a peace agreement in Israel and UAA yesterday? Yes, I did, Sean. Could that be biblical prophecy fulfilled in Daniel? Most likely, huh, brother? Brenda Torville. Good morning, Brenda. God bless you. Keith Carey, all the way from Ohio. God bless you, Keith. Would love to hear from all of you. Sean says hello again. Shan Lewis. Oh, Sean says, I told you, Vincent, that I believe that in September could be when God pours out his spirit on everything and changes us who belong to Christ by shining forth the glory of God. Wow, maybe there'll be a massive transfiguration. I would absolutely love that. Shan Lewis says, good morning. Praise God, for this is the beautiful day he has provided. I agree. May our Father bless your appointments and journey all the day long. Thank you for the blessing. We want to be led by the Spirit, and we have many appointments today. May God guide every one of them. Thank you, Shan. all right. So, again, just some good conversation going on. And let me see. Let me go on down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A lot of great conversations going on. Donna Fraser says, I agree. God is sending hewers. His judgments will apply to our nation just as old. No nation left to flee. We must prepare for persecution. It will cause us to preach the gospel to places he leads. Absolutely agree with that once again. I want to say good morning to Lawrence Wenborn. God bless you, Lawrence. And Damon Bugley. Noah was a nonce, a noance, a voice. I don't remember what that's saying, Damon, but God bless you. Welcome. Haven't seen you out there before. Denny, good morning from Denny and Sally. Blessings to all the family. Barbara Dixon, good morning from Northeast Georgia. God bless you, Barbara. Hopefully, maybe one day we'll be taking the RV down to Georgia, having a Bible study with the saints who understand what time it is, and we could have an amazing time. I've got a call coming in right now. I want to take that call from area code 319. Area code 319. Let's go ahead and welcome them to the broadcast. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello, brother.
Hello, sir.
It's me, Sean Vincent.
Hello, Sean. What you doing?
Hey, I'm watching you live right now, and I figured I'd call you while you were on the air.
Well, Sean, you and I had a discussion a few days ago that should have been on the air. It was absolutely awesome. So with our few minutes we have left in today's broadcast, open your heart. Tell us, what are you hearing? What are you seeing?
Like we talked before, I believe that in September, we were running around here blind, and we don't know exactly what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be preparing for what is going to happen. And I believe within myself, where I told you this, where you got this knowing in your soul. Remember that? Remember, we discussed that we know something is coming. We can feel it in ourselves. I believe that what we're feeling is this outpouring of the Holy Spirit one last time. And I believe when he does that, he's going to change us, transfigure us, and make us know what we're supposed to do.
In other words, give wisdom, understanding, knowledge, direction, guidance.
Yes. We will finally know what he knows. We'll know what we're supposed to be doing. Instead of blindly, like, being in the dark, feeling around and running around trying to figure out what we're supposed to do, we'll know what to do.
Amen. I love it.
And then... I believe a change has got to happen, brother, before this goes down. Thus, we will not be able to physically or mentally be able to stand. We will not be able to. We will not be able to fathom what we're seeing going down.
In our present condition.
Yeah, in our present condition, we would not be able to. We would just collapse with the bombardment. We would just not be able to handle it.
That's huge, Sean. That reminds me of a scripture in Jeremiah that the best of them are as a briar. And what you're saying is that even the elect can be deceived. And so there, what you're saying is that God is going to be generous to those that are genuinely. But at the same time are kind of lacking in the strength necessary to endure to the end of these times. So you're saying that God's going to send a baptism, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the hearts of that that person, those people that are seeking him for the strength to go through. At the same time, these calamities are going to hit the earth.
Well, remember when Jesus was in the garden and he was so burdened down with what he was about to go through, that he was just so in anguish that God had to send an angel to give him strength to endure.
That's good.
I believe that that's what he's going to do with his elect, his ones that are truly belong to him. He's going to pour out his spirit on us to give us the endurance to face what we're going to go through.
Awesome. What an awesome word. You know, the conversation you and I had a few days ago for 45 minutes to an hour, however long it was, intensified into all of this, and it was brilliant. And the anointing on what you're saying right now, it is such a beautiful picture of how God does do things. He doesn't leave his people without resources or anointing.
Right.
He allows for us to carry something through these times so that we can be empowered if we've sought for that empowerment to go through.
Yes, we're going to be persecuted, as you said. I mean, we're no better than the Jews. Even God said so. He persecuted them when they turned against him. We're going to get persecuted by the enemy too, but we will be empowered to endure that persecution. We will be strengthened. We will have the strength of God. We will have the confidence and the boldness and the power and the authority of God to endure when this goes on, when this happens.
Sean, I want to ask the people listening right now for just a moment, and I'm going to go a little extra here for today. I want to ask the person listening right now. There's a number of people that are watching this. You're listening by phone. You're out there. Do you believe, and I want to ask you an honest question. You give yourself an honest answer, because I have a comment I want to make briefly. Do you believe that what has been prophesied, what Pastor Dana has seen, what so many people have been witnessing, do you believe it's true? And if you answer right now, no, I don't, well, that's fine. If you say, yes, I believe this is true, then I want to ask you a question. Are you in the right place at this right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now? Are you positioned properly? Because I get the sense that there are people that are living maybe in an inner city somewhere, or are in a place that, you know, they just don't have a lot of peace in. They're kind of just there because, like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, this is our hometown. This is where I live. This is where my family is. Are you in the right place? Because if you really believe that these next few months are going to bring about this massive calamity, which I do believe with all of my heart, genuinely I do, then what are you doing to prepare genuinely to be with the right people, to have the ability to encourage one another, strengthen one another, work together, you know, go together? You need to answer that question. Go ahead, Sean.
I believe, brother, what we need to do to prepare is go into our prayer closet, hit our knees, and cry to God to prepare us. We need to go into our prayer closets, or go out into the wilderness, or go take a walk and talk to God and cry out to God and say, do unto me as you will, God. Do to me what you need to do to prepare me for what's coming. That's what we should do.
Amen.
We should go into our prayer closets and hit our knees and cry to the Lord and say, according to your will, so be it done unto me. Let it be done to me.
Amen. Amen. Sean, I believe.
That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We need to go and to our Lord and pray and intercede and just fellowship with the Lord, and he'll show up. I believe he'll show up and he'll tell us or show us or do what he's got to do to make us ready.
I believe what you're saying is awesome. October 2nd through the 9th, God has an appointed feast for his people known as the Feast of Tabernacles all over the world.
Yeah.
And what an opportunity for God's people to go to their prayer closet, pray, Father, do you want me to go to your feast? Find one and get to it. We're going to be hosting one right here. But I do believe that God is speaking very clearly that it's time to roll away the reproach off of the lives of his people so that we will be able to go through without reproach, the stain of shame, guilt, and condemnation in our lives. So I do believe and agree with that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I do believe reproach is going to be rolled away, and it goes in so many different directions, man. So People should consider gathering for an appointed time with the Father and allow him to bless those that bless him and honor those that honor him by participating in this very special time.
Yeah.
I believe it with all my heart.
Yes, I believe that not only is he going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost, but remember what John said, and with fire. He's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit with fire. That's what's going to make us illuminate. He's going to illuminate us like he did Moses and Jesus. He's going to turn the light bulb on. He's going to turn the light on in that's in us out of us. And we're going to shine forth the glory of God. And he's going to use us to gather the last harvest, the last revival of the lost sheep. That
Sean,
what
I got
you're talking about?
Yeah. Let me cut in for just a moment. I met with a pastor yesterday, and there was another individual I met the other day, and the pastor was telling me, you know what? I don't want to live here in this world anymore. I want to be with the Lord. But he had so much fire in his eyes. I could look in this man's eyes. I saw fire. And I said, the reason why you're not going to die is because the fire of God is burning inside of you, like you were just talking about. I look into too many people's eyes where there's no fire. You know, they try to manufacture something, try to make it exist. But I look into too many people's eyes, including pastors that are very complacent. They're very placid.
They look dead. They look like zombies.
Or disconnected.
Like walking around like zombies.
Yeah, disconnected. Yeah. No fire. So this baptism of fire that you're talking about, we need that, don't we?
Yes. And when they see it on us, they'll be drawn to us, Vincent, brother. They'll draw to us. They'll want that. They'll want to know how we got it. And we will be able to, Peter said, freely I've received. Boom, here you go. And they'll get it. And then they'll get it. And it'll be a massive revival. It'll be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Amen. Sean, forgive me. We can go on forever. What we need to do is pick up our conversation next week. I should have you just kind of join me for an hour or so next week, and we could talk about these things. I've got another call coming in. I've got to get running, so I'm going to have to just cut this short for the moment. And God bless you, my friend. Next week, give me a shout. We'll spend the whole day. We'll work something out where we can just let that impartation go forth. Thank you, Sean, for calling into the podcast. I appreciate you. God bless you, my friend. Let's take one more call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes. Reading in Isaiah 24 and concerning the judgments, it says, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. When you read down to the seventh verse of chapter 24 of Isaiah, it speaks of the earth being burned. And that's what it says in Revelation. It's the next time this earth is dealt with by God Almighty, it will be by fire.
Absolutely. 2 Peter chapter 3. Kathy, we're looking forward to seeing you and Ken come up for the feast, or actually come down from South Dakota to the Feast of Tabernacles. I want to trust that you're doing very well. You're being healthy. Everything is good.
Yes. Yes.
Good.
All is well.
That's the report. That's what I wanted to hear. But yes, it's true. It's the earth is being set up for this moment. And when you start seeing nations fall, cities fall, when you start seeing these things in this moment of time, it's pretty amazing. And I think what we need is what Sean was just talking about, that baptism, that common unity called community of believers in different locations throughout this nation and around the world, where God's people will have an ability by wisdom, knowledge, understanding, direction, guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is the way we walk ye in it. Don't show up in the Twin Towers on 9/11/2001. Don't go to that mall in El Paso, Texas today. Stay home. We need to have the kind of guidance that is supernatural. And that is important. We need to know that voice. It needs to direct us and guide us. We need to allow it to cause us to surrender some of our own desires, what we want to do. It's very important stuff, Kathy. God bless you. And thank you for calling into the broadcast.
Thank you.
All right. God bless Kathy and Ken. No doubt about that. So I'm going to get rolling here, folks. I want to say to good looking honky out there. I don't know who you are, good looking honky, but he says he believes that atheists believe that two rocks banged up in space and created human emotions. LOL. Well, it is a little bit crazy, isn't it? And then we are being deceived by our own people for the last great war. Yeah. I want to hear more from the gentleman that's calling in here, Joshua Morris. Good morning to you, Joshua. Okay, Red Sea, anyone? Yeah, sounds like you got some good stuff going on there. Make sure you tune in. Listen, we're going to go now. We're going to bid you farewell. We've got a very busy weekend. We will be on Facebook Saturday at 5:30, Sunday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We have a service here in Northwest Arkansas, Saturday, 5:30. If you're outside the local area and you want to tune into one of our services, we'll see you Saturday at 5:30 on Facebook and on YouTube. Same on Sunday at 2 p.m. Monday, we'll be taking our day of rest, but we're doing some work, getting some things done. Put on your calendar, October 2nd through October 9th. Please go to our website at nwmglobal.org. That stands for New Wine Ministry, nwmglobal.org. Go to the Feast of Tabernacles tab. Look at the information we have. It'll tell you all about the times. I've even got some speakers getting lined up over there. So make sure, nwmglobal.org. Remember, we're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on omegaradio.org, omegaradio.org. I put a bunch of great stuff on the radio station yesterday. It should be going through the cycle. Be super blessed. Remember, get those days off October 2nd through the 9th. Make it your determination. I'm going to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going to touch God's feast somewhere, anywhere you go. We're going to be hosting it here. This will be our 31st year in doing so. We're going to welcome everybody that's coming. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt will be ministering from Tennessee. Pastor Dave and Victoria Obenauer from South Dakota. There are some other guest speakers that will be coming in as well. Patricia and I will be ministering. Some of our pastors within the New Wine Ministry Church will be ministering. We're going to be having breakfasts. We're going to be having lunches. We're going to be having gatherings in the evening. 8 full days of gathering together, getting downloaded with impartation, messages from the throne of heaven. God's going to do amazing things. We just want to honor him for the feast that he's called together from before the beginning of time. And we'll talk more about that next week. So that's it for today. God bless everybody out there. Shalom to you. Have a super blessed and empowered weekend. Maybe spend that quality time in the prayer closet and tell God, I want to be a recipient of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to put fire back in my bones, fire in my eyes. I'm tired of being complacent. I'm tired of being weary. I'm tired of all this. I want fire, God, to last me like Elijah ate a meal. It gave him 40 days. He ran on that one meal. May the fire of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, put a fire in us that will keep us enduring through the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. It's on the way. And yet in the midst of that, exploits will be done. I'm Pastor Vince. Got to go for right now. Shalom, everybody. Thanks for tuning in this week. Have an amazing weekend. We'll see you Tuesday with bells on. Shalom. Right now, there's a roundtable discussion going on Omega Radio, omegaradio.org, a roundtable discussion by my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, with her roundtable extraordinary people out of her book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. Shalom and God bless.